Welcome back to another episode of Parenting in Progress. I'm Corey.
I'm Jordan.
And we're the Welches. Welcome back to another episode. We've already talked about milk. In today's episode, we're going to take you on our journey of starting solids.
Here we go.
So we waited about 6 months before we introduced solids.
Yeah, that's kind of the general guidelines, I feel like. So I waited until then.
Yeah, we weren't super eager to do it, but yet we wanted to do it. We wanted to get her used to different textures and different tastes and that sort of stuff, but didn't want to do it too early, but we really didn't want to do it too late. So we kind of hit just the normal guideline.
Yeah. I feel like there was a lot of transitions happening for her at that 6 month time frame. I was going back to work. She was starting real big girl daycare. We were moving her to her own bedroom. And this was just one of the things I kind of wanted to get under our belt a little bit to hopefully not have so many transitions at once for her.
So they say food before one is just for fun. So what you read on the internet, basically, it's going to say that if they're before one, really, it's just to get them used to eating and feeling those textures and those tastes. It's actually quite funny on some of their tastes that they don't like or they haven't really had before. They're just kind of like, what is that? And then other ones that they really like, they're like, I don't know what this is, but I need all of it.
Give me more.
Yes. So still, you know, at that 6 month stage, milk is obviously still the primary source of nutrition. And the food is just to start to get them introduced to different things. It really doesn't have that much nutritional value, according to the experts. And that's what we're going by today.
So we first started out with a little bit of oatmeal cereal. I did hear some things about rice cereal not being as nutritional for them. So I went ahead and got the big old tub of oatmeal cereal. And I ended up giving that away to a friend because she didn't really like it. And honestly, I wouldn't like it either. It's pretty blah. We just did a little bit. I made it super runny so she wouldn't, you know, have like a super thick cereal in her mouth and be like, what is this? So it was kind of runny, really milky. I think I mixed it with my milk at that point before changing it over to water. But she didn't really like it too much.
Yeah, and I think it was hard to get a straight consistency. I felt like sometimes she ate it better when it was a little runny, and then sometimes she ate it better when it was a little thicker. Yeah, she was not always a fan. It was a hit and miss, which a lot of these foods, you know, they tell you to try, 20 different times almost before they figure out whether they really like it or whether they don't like that certain type of food.
Yeah, the pediatrician had just said, just keep introducing it because they don't know for sure if they're actually going to like it or not.
And I would say, you know, as you starting out, if they don't like it, doesn't mean don't buy it. Still buy it, still introduce it, try it a few times, and either they are going to like it or they are not.
Yeah, and Carly, we tried mashed bananas. And I think I added some milk or water to it just to kind of run it down a little bit. And the first time she had that, she really liked it. To this day, she doesn't like bananas. And part of it is just I'm sure it's the texture, but she doesn't want to try it. But I bought strawberry banana puree and she liked that. So it wasn't necessarily the taste of the banana, maybe a banana by itself, but the texture. So if there's something that you're like, man, they didn't really like that, try it mixed with something else. Like if they didn't like carrots, but they liked peas, we'll try the peas and carrots and see if they'll eat it that way. But yeah, that cereal, she didn't really like much. So I decided to make my own purees and you helped me out quite a bit. I just was like, well, doesn't look too hard. I Googled it, tried to see how to make it. And I bought some frozen fruit at the store where it's all it is fruit, no sugars, no nothing like that. And then I did the same with vegetables. With the vegetables, I steamed them in the microwave, put them in our little Ninja blender?
Yeah, we bought a blender specifically for that, if I remember right. We bought one of the nice Ninja blenders because we knew we were going to use it in our blender that we got when we were married. It was just a generic old blender. It did okay, but I remember the first batch because we made a couple batches with the old blender and it took forever. It just was really slow and just couldn't ever get it as fine as we wanted. So we broke down. We had a Kohl's deal, found a Kohl's deal.
Kohl's cash.
And broke down and bought this Ninja blender. And I mean, in less than 30 seconds, you had a puree. I mean, that thing is phenomenal. So definite pro tip there of ours. I'm not saying you have to get the same one, but get you a good blender if you're going to do it.
Yeah. So with that, we'd blend it. I would add water to the consistency that I wanted. And then I got this little thing off Amazon that's almost like a ice mold, but like egg shaped. And it had a little lid on it. It was made for freezing baby food or whatever. So I'd pour it into, I think it was like 1 to 2 ounce amounts, whatever the little egg thing held. I think it was like 8 in that container. Put the lid on it, throw it downstairs in the deep freeze. As soon as it was frozen, I'd pop them out and put them in a Ziploc bag in the freezer. And then I could make the next batch of something else. And those worked out really well. They were easy to just put in the microwave. And I felt better a little bit knowing that all it is the fruit and water, or the vegetable and water. It wasn't all these added things. So I feel like I was on a little kick of checking out what was on the labels of some of the baby foods, because we did buy some at the store, some pre-bought baby foods, just to add a little bit of variety. Like some of the fruits and vegetables, it would have been hard for us to, or very time consuming to make. So we did get some at the store.
Yeah, that was one last thing I want to talk about on the Ninja one is, you know, we're both going back to work. So really, you kind of had the weekends to make it, or just a little bit of time in the evening by then. So time did become of an essence, and, you know, definitely get the right stuff to where you can do in that time frame if you can. If you don't want to mess with making your own, you don't have to either.
Because we did do a variety of both. And then once she got a little bit bigger, kind of got the solid, quote, solid runny food down, we kind of bumped it up a notch with a little bit thicker food. And I tried some mashed stuff. Like I mentioned earlier, I mashed some bananas. I mashed avocado. And I would run it down with some water to make it to the right consistency. But that was just a little bit chunkier. She could handle just a little bit more. And I kind of think she liked having like some substance to the food.
Yeah, I think by then she did. If I remember it, she liked things a little more thicker than runnier. I feel like really early on, she did like the runnier stuff. So, you know, the baby food, it's really runny. What we did for purees, those are really runny things when you make them, but it didn't take a very long to transition where she wanted something to kind of, I guess, feel that she swallows. Yeah, just it had a little consistency to it. It wasn't just water.
And back to the purees, I have always heard, you know, that most babies like the sweets and not necessarily the vegetables as much. So I did try about all the vegetables that I made. Some of the purees that we made were like peaches, sweet potatoes, carrots, peas, green beans, mangoes. Those were kind of the ones that were easily available, frozen, and easy to make. And I think we just tried all the vegetables first and then introduced some fruits. There were some vegetables that she really did like almost more than some fruits. I think carrots was a big hit. Sweet potatoes were up there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as she was eating, sometimes she ate the whole jar, and sometimes she only ate half of it or a quarter of it, and kind of had to figure out when she was done. That was probably a little difficult part of, is she all done, is she not? And I think really what it came down to is she'd either spit it out or just not care for it. Like, you could just tell on her face that it just was not 100%. Like, she wasn't wanting more. She wasn't, you know, if you put the spoon up there, she wouldn't open her mouth or stuff like that. So kind of read your baby on that. Don't judge them on portion size, because once again, it's not super nutritional at that point anyway. You're doing it for practice.
And when you were saying, you know, more and all done, that that reminded me, when we started Purees, that's when we started introducing the sign language of more and all done with her. Not that she really understood what was going on, but I started saying it. I started modeling it for her when she would take another bite. Oh, you want more? And then I'd give it to her. Or a lot of it, we were deciding when she was done because, like you said, she just stopped eating. So we would sign all done. So I'm not going to expand on this a ton because we can talk about it more in another episode. But when you start Purees, I would totally, super highly recommend start using a couple baby sign languages, more and all done.
Yeah, it's definitely a good time frame to start that, for sure. Another thing that maybe I didn't like as well, when you're feeding a baby, it's not always the neatest thing. They're going to cause a mess, and you're going to have to be okay with that. They're going to either spit it all out, or heaven forbid, if you drop something on the tray, oh man, she was on it. She'd take her hand, she'd mush it around, she'd play in it. And sometimes I think that's still good texturing for them. It's good for them to do that. So don't be like, oh, hey, don't make a mess. I don't want to teach them bad habits. They're not at that point yet.
No, they need that sensory input. And I think that's part of the process of introducing the foods. It's sensory for their mouth, but it's sensory for their hands too. Is they're not picking up the foods yet, but they're still kind of figuring out, and it's okay that they're playing in it a little bit. Now, I know if you know Corey, you know that you are a super neat eater. And so I think it kind of bothered you that she was kind of messy, but then you realized, okay, it's okay. Easy to clean up.
Honestly, early on, didn't really bother me. Now that she's as old as she is and the stuff that she does, she was even grossing you out the other night.
She was.
So it gets, that portion gets ramped up a little bit. But, you know, if they make a mess and they, you know, she would like to touch her face. She'd like to get her hands in her ear. She'd rub her ear. She'd kind of get it in her hair sometimes. You know what that just calls for? Bath time.
Yep.
Just straight to the bath. We weren't the best at giving her baths anyway. We should have probably did it more often than what we did. And that was a good deal of, you know, whether the good Lord was telling us or whatever it was. Yeah, it was bath time. And, you know, the clothes, far as clothes and baby food staining, never really had any issues.
Not too bad. I mean, her bibs have some stains. There's nothing off the top of my head that really stained. Right now, macaroni and cheese is like my spaghetti sauce, no. But then, not really. Carrots, I do think she had some carrots on one shirt that I had a hard time getting out. But if you want to take their clothes off to feed them, a lot of people do that. Sometimes I didn't want to have to go through the hassle of taking the shorts off, unbuttoning the onesie. I just put a bib on it and I'm like, I'll wash it. It's okay. But I think it's okay to let them be messy. I did a lot of spoon feeding at first because just for my own sanity, I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't need you taking the spoon and throwing it all over everything. But I had to tell myself, it's okay. Let her hold the spoon for a little bit. It's all right. It's going to be a mess. And she's learning. It's all these good things that's going on in her brain, even though I'm over there freaking out. But it's okay. It's messy. She's a baby. It is what it is.
Yeah. What are you going to do? You're not going to do anything about it anyway. So just take it, enjoy it. You'll miss it someday.
I did hold off on some of the, like, I don't know what the right word for it is, but the higher risk of a kid having an allergy foods like dairy and peanuts and strawberries, eggs. I waited until like a weekend or when you were here. A lot of the times her feeding schedule, she would eat her purees around like 5 or 5:30. You either were home or were getting home. So you weren't always there for that piece. So I wanted to wait until we were both there just in case she had a reaction. Thank goodness she never did. But I didn't want to have to be by myself if that happened.
Yeah, because you definitely would freak out and I'd have to handle the situation through the phone, which wouldn't have been a very good deal either.
No. So I just waited till the weekend.
But nice part is we also only live a couple blocks from the hospital, the nearest hospital. So that was a plus side for us too. Maybe you don't want to try it on the weekend. Maybe you want to try it during the weekdays. That's fine. Just try to find some time and, you know, definitely pay attention to them. You know, I don't think we even had a scare of something. I think one time she did have like a little skin rash, but it was not related to food, we had figured out. She kind of already had that before she ate. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, luckily we lucked out and didn't have an allergy, but definitely just be on the watch. You know, I don't know if I would do it late at night before they go to bed. I really wouldn't do that. Definitely make it when they're going to be out and around you for a little while.
Yeah. And one thing the pediatrician had also said, and it makes sense, to only introduce one new food at a time. So we would do, say we're introducing carrots. We would have carrots for a couple days, and then we would do something different for a couple days. And then once they've already introduced it and they're fine with it, then you can interweave it whenever you want to. But when we were starting a new food, we only did one new food at a time. That way, if they did have an allergy, it was easier to tell what it was. Then once, like I mentioned, she could handle a little bit of mashed foods, we started trying to incorporate a little bit of what we were eating for supper. A lot of it she still couldn't do, but there were some things like yogurt, and I did mix peanut butter and yogurt. See, she still eats that to this day. She loves it.
Very good breakfast deal, and definitely, you know, Carly's a small girl, like we've said. Definitely gets her some protein to pack on some pounds. We try.
And when she doesn't drink whole milk very well, the yogurt is some dairy mixed in there. So yogurt, it's vanilla Greek yogurt with peanut butter is what we mix. It smells gross, but she loves it. And it is a good food that's thick enough that at this age she can scoop herself. It doesn't slide off the spoon like a typical Yoplait yogurt might. She was able to start some of those softer foods, mashed potatoes. She loved mashed potatoes. I'd take in like cheesy hash brown potatoes and mashed those up for her. We even had meatballs one night for supper, and I took a meatball. I mashed it up, and then I added like whatever pureed vegetable I had. I think it was carrots or sweet potato or something, just to run it down just a little bit, soften it up, moisten it up for her. And we just tried just different things that we were having for supper to give her a little variety as well.
Yeah, and I think we did that especially on some of the vegetables we had that she didn't like anymore at that certain period. And so we had them in the fridge, and it's like, well, we don't really want to have it go to waste, because either, number one, we bought it from the store and it cost us money, or number two, we spent the time to make the puree. So we're like, we want you to eat the food. We want to utilize it. And so, yeah, you mixed it up. I mean, it looks gross. I probably wouldn't eat it, but she's just trying to figure out the world yet, and she don't know the difference. She probably loved it.
She had no idea that there was carrots in her meatball, and she ate it. So anytime you can hide in some extra vegetables, that's great.
And it's not like we put a boatload in there either. It's not like it changed the color or anything. We just threw a little bit in there just to have it. It probably wasn't enough to really have a taste.
No. Oh, now that we're talking about that, it is probably pretty gross, but I did mix some of her vegetables with her fruit. Do you remember me doing that?
Mm-mm.
So if we had some vegetables that were left over that we needed to get used, or she didn't eat them very well, because we did do vegetables first and then we went to fruit after that, she didn't eat that very well, I did, you know, mix a little bit in with her fruit, just enough that it really didn't alter the taste that much, not enough for her to notice it, but it was a way to use the food without wasting it and add the extra vitamins and stuff in it, but didn't change the taste. If I had to eat it, I probably wouldn't want to do it. The color changed a little bit, but she didn't know. It still tasted fruity. So you can do that too. Add a little bit of vegetables in it. They won't know.
Yeah, definitely. Just get creative with it.
Applesauce. That's another fruit or food that we kind of could go to as well when she's eating more of the foods that we're eating.
Yeah. And when we started, in the beginning, we didn't really start the food. Like if we kind of went out somewhere or if we went shopping or something like that, we just gave her straight milk. And then slowly we started bringing a little jar. And that was kind of also where we introduced buying more of those purees, because we could put them in the little diaper bag and take them with us. And then if we went out to eat somewhere, we'd give her a little spoonful. That way she kind of had something neat as we were kind of before we were eating.
Yeah, and we did do some jars, and we also did some of the little pouches. Like, I remember we had prune pouches. She really liked prunes. Yeah, we added that to us because, again, like they said, food before one is just for fun. So if we knew we were going shopping out, we just didn't give her purees that day, or gave it to her when we got home. And then, yeah, she got to where she was wanting some more food, and we did it that way to make it easier on us. Something that didn't have to be refrigerated was helpful.
Yeah, and one of the scary deals that when you're having your kid try these more solid foods, such as a meatball with some ground meat and stuff, you can mash the heck out of it. But once in a blue moon, they're going to gag and they're going to choke just a little bit. And it's, Carly, it wasn't very often, but it does scare the heck out of you. So what we ended up doing, Jordan, she's kind of a hover mom in the beginning. You know, everything was safety, safety, safety. And so everything started popping up on our Facebook feed of this life vac and how life-saving it is. And so we bought two or three of them.
I had a coworker that really was like, yes, you need those. So that's when I looked into it more. And I was like, oh my gosh, they're like $70 or $80. It was crazy. And then I just happened to be looking on Facebook one day, and I saw on one of my like save pages of deals for items at Amazon mainly, there was one that had that life vac on sale. So I ended up getting it for like $35, like over half off. And then the deal was still going. So I ended up getting two because my coworker, she's like, yeah, we have one at home and we have one in the car. She's like, how many times do you eat in the car when they're older? And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're right. Like, that would be scary. You're in the driving somewhere in your car and your kid's choking. Like, so we got two. We have one right kind of by our table, and the other one is in the backseat of the car.
Yeah, and luckily we've never had to use it, but it's there like all safety things. It's there in case we need it. And kind of the science behind how it works, in theory, it should work pretty good.
And the nice thing is, once you use, if you have to end up using it, at least with the LifeVac brand, they will send you another like mouthpiece to it. So that was kind of nice. It made it worth a little bit, worth the money. Like when you said that they choke a little bit, your instant reaction is to like freak out and try to get it out. But even the school nurse that has taught me CPR said, just give them a second. They should be able to kind of either cough it up or get it up on their own. Don't go in and react right away. So that was hard for me to just give her a second. And I never had to do anything, thankfully. She got whatever she needed cleared up. But that's my little tidbit of just give them a second to let them try to do it before you try to help.
Yeah. And I would, you know, early on, the food is so soft, it's not that big a deal. But now where she's eating a lot more solid food, or when we started progressing to more solid food where we did a little bit of lead weaning and stuff, she did choke. And I remember seeing your face and you're just like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And she would get it up. So don't try to freak out. I know it's really hard, but if they keep coughing for a while, okay, maybe you need to pat their back, something like that. But two or three coughs, it's not a big deal and a gag.
Yeah. And speaking of the baby led weaning, obviously you can tell through our podcast, we didn't really do a whole lot of that. Part of it was just, I, like you said, I kind of had anxiety on choking. I didn't feel as comfortable with that. And honestly, like, I don't really want to waste a chicken leg giving it to my daughter just to gnaw on it and not eat anything. So I felt like we did definitely more purees than baby led weaning, but there were some things when she got a little bit bigger. You can give her a chunk of a banana. We can give her something else to kind of gnaw on a little bit, but we definitely were on the puree side of it. And that's okay. If you want to do a combination of both, if you just strictly want to do baby led weaning, go for it. That's fine. I probably don't have as much tidbits of information for that, but yeah, do what works for you.
Yeah, we just didn't really want to waste the food of that. We didn't want to cook extra and then have to throw that chicken leg away or a little piece of steak or a chicken finger. We just did not want to do that, I guess. We didn't think that the benefit outweighed the other. So One thing I did wish that we would have got is they make they're like a little popsicle looking deal, and you can take some mashed fruit or vegetable, and you can shove it in there, and it will squeezes it through a hole a little bit, and so the kid can start biting down on that. It's like a little silicone deal that it fits in. They can start biting down on that and getting some of that, whatever you put in there, the fruit or vegetable in there, and they can start getting some of that taste out. And I think that's just a cool little deal that we never really got one, but I think, you know, maybe next time it's something that we can just try to help introduce stuff to where they can handle it a little bit more. It's kind of like the best of both worlds. It gives them a little lead weaning where they're holding it and they're biting it and that stuff. And instead of just getting spoon fed like we did.
Yeah. I feel like when we were really looking into it, she was kind of past that stage a little bit. That's like, I know they're cheap. I know they're like less than 10 bucks, but it was something that, oh man, we should have done this at the beginning of it because yeah, you could stick a chunk of a strawberry in there or a chunk of banana or avocado or anything like that and let them kind of have a little bit of independence on that and be able to maneuver it and hold it and do what they need to with it.
Yeah, and it's not a puree.
Yeah, no.
It's a whole little chunk that you slice out of it.
Yeah. Lastly, I wanted to let you know of this app that someone had told me about. I can't remember who told me about it, but it's called the Solid Starts app. And they have a paid version and then they have a free version. And I just have the free version where you can type in like any food and it will tell you kind of a appropriate age to introduce it. It will tell you if it's a common allergen. It will tell you how to cut it. And that I feel like was what I looked at the most. It'll say like a strawberry, for example. It'll tell you, yes, it's a common allergen. And then it will say at 6 months plus, this is how you can give it to them. It would probably tell you to give it to them whole to let them gnaw on it. And then at 9 months, you can slice it into whatever. And then at 12 months, you can do whatever. It shows you pictures of how to slice it, cut it, whatever. And that was very informative for me to learn. Okay, oh, I cut that the wrong way. I should have probably left it bigger for her. It's just a nice little information thing. If it's your first kid and you're like, how do I cut this? How do I give it to them? Are they going to choke? It's a nice little app to have a visual to it and search how to serve it. If it should be cooked or if it can be raw, whatever. It was handy.
Honestly, I didn't even know you had that app.
I feel like I mentioned it to you before, but I haven't looked it up in so long because I kind of have the vibe of how to cut some things.
Yeah, I had no idea. I knew you had a lot of different apps, but I had never heard of that one. So even I learned something today, everybody. It still happens. We're learning every day. But with that being said, that's kind of everything that we've got. That was our journey on how to start some solids. It's obviously not perfect. We want to try some different stuff, hopefully on the next kid, but hopefully we helped you out. Do what works best for you and your kid and how you guys want to tackle it. Once again, there is no right answers to a lot of this stuff. We're just telling you our version of the story. Thanks again, and we'll see you in the next one. Thank you for listening to Parenting in Progress. If you like what you heard and you're listening to us on YouTube, please go ahead, like, share, subscribe, drop a comment. If you're listening to us on other platforms, go ahead, give us a follow and a rating. We truly appreciate it. Thanks again, and we'll see you in the next one.